B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
Welcome to the Beer Run, part of the BS and Beer family. The only Saints podcast with a 2-drink minimum and takes as bad as the last season of Game of Thrones.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep on your toes. But toes.
I'm the California Cajun. With me as always, Little Dice. How you doing, brother?
What's happening, Craig? So you know how we gonna do it on the Beer Run. We're gonna talk about some beer. We got Saints mini camp starting up, so let's talk about that, baby. And also in the news, hey, man, we got this Hardy contract situation going on. Like, what is he worth? We need to figure that out. And we're going to wrap this thing up. We're going to talk about Jurassic World. Is that right? Jurassic World.
Jurassic,
right?
World Dominion.
Yes. The new Jurassic World movie.
That's right. And you're going to explain to me why I should be watching Ms. Marvel.
I'm just going to talk about Ms. Marvel. We're not trying to get eyes for Disney.
And, no confidence in this one.
Yeah, until they give us some money. So, but yeah, we'll touch on Ms. Marvel. And
I'm a capitalist. They want to send us a buck. I'll talk about whatever show they want.
Oh yeah, for sure. Just like our other sponsor.
The Beer Run Podcast is sponsored by Purple Valley Marijuana. We got that good.
Don't you roll that ad? I do not approve. Don't you do it? If you're listening to this, if they just rolled an ad, let me know so that I can cancel this show going forward.
Hey, we gotta keep our sponsors happy, man. Okay, I need my bonus. All right, referees, spot the ball, man. Let's get this thing going.
First down, Saints.
All right, Craig, what are you drinking, bro?
Okay, so I had something from this brewery on the show a while back. I don't think I had this one in particular, but this is the Saint Arnold Art Car IPA. It is a fantastic beer, and let you know. ABV today is 7.1. A little strong for as early in the day as it is for me. Ooh, okay. But, you know, it's good gravity, good hops. What are we looking at? IBUs? 55. So that's a little bit for some folks, but, you know, not outrageous. Okay. It's good. It tastes good. It looks good. What is the other thing we judge on this show?
How does it sound?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good, too. That's a good one. Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's good beer. I recommend it. This is right down the road in Houston, Texas. So I did leave our beautiful state of Louisiana for this one, but it is not bad. It's worth the drive.
All right.
Highly recommend.
Gotcha. All right. Well, you got a beer out of Texas, and I'm going to continue with the Texan tradition. And I've got Rawr and Sons Brewing Company S'more Pug. Okay. It is
you don't have to run that by me again.
Yeah, that's Rawr and Sons Brewing Company. Uh-huh. The beer is called S'more Pug.
S'more Pug?
Yes. Okay. It is a black lager with vanilla, cinnamon, and cocoa nibs. It is 5.5%.
And this is out of, that sounds like dessert.
This is out of Fort Worth, Texas. I've been hearing a lot of good things about that area as far as breweries are concerned. So I don't know, maybe it's popping up there. But yeah, let's see how this thing sounds here, man.
That sounds pretty good.
All right. Okay. So the bad thing about this is the liquor store I went to, this was on sale, and the lady said, yeah, we're not going to get any more of these. So after this is gone, this is out. So if I like this, I'm never going to taste it again.
All right, let's all collectively send our mental energy to Dale to make sure he hates this beer.
Yeah. So like, do you root for not liking the beer? You know?
I mean, you kind of hope you hate it, right? I mean, on the one hand, you want to enjoy your beer right now, but you don't want to have something you fall in love with and never see her again.
Yeah. Okay. So it's pretty strong. I don't get any of these little hits of vanilla cinnamon. So
just keep drinking and you'll get
there. We'll see.
That's cool, man. Being up in Arkansas, you're basically just in East Texas anyway. So
yeah, that's right.
Convenient for you.
That's right.
Yeah, that does explain why you're such a big Cowboys fan.
It's terrible.
Second down.
Let's get into Saints mini camp.
Michael Thomas was in the building. He was on the field. Michael Thomas was on the field. 100%
attendance.
Every damn player showed up.
Love it. Okay, wow, I was worried because they were talking about players might be holding out because of contract reasons and stuff, but none of that came to pass. Everybody showed up. I love it, man. What do you think?
I feel good. I feel good about it. I mean, just seeing clips of Matthew breaking on the ball. He's so quick, so fast. Seeing Jarvis Landry turning that one where he cuts to the corner and makes that one-handed catch. If he's your number one receiver, you have somebody to throw to. If he's your number three receiver, oh man. Mm-hmm. And don't get me started on seeing Kamara running those option routes. I could watch those all day.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous what kind of a weapon he is and what he's going to be this year. Man, if the offensive line holds up and Jameis is anything but terrible, we could be scoring some points this year.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I didn't get an update on the Jameis limp situation.
I think this is a situation where no news is good news.
But however, I did learn that Jameis is still under restrictions. True. And he's not working like with the full team, but he is working in 7-on-7. And he mentioned part of the things he works on after practice, because he always works after practice, was working on accuracy. Mm. And I mean, I love the way that sounds. Look, mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's going to be a great leader for us. So I'm pretty happy with this.
Yeah, there's a lot of things right now happening to be happy about, to be excited about, including guys coming back, including rookies developing. They talked to Ryan Ramczyk after practice, who talked mm-hmm. about Trevor Penning and how he's getting the playbook down and developing. First team reps today were left tackle James Hurst, which I think a lot of us expected. You know, you're going to want to work the rookie up. I would be really shocked if Penning started week one.
Okay.
But you know, that's going to come along. That's going to develop. You don't want to throw a guy out there when he's not ready for him or for the team.
Yeah.
But Hurst is capable. You know, Ramczyk says he's feeling great. He played hurt all year last year, basically missed a bunch of time. And when he was there, he was hurt. Everybody else was in attendance. So Pete was going, Ruiz was going, McCoy was going. I mean, the big worry for me is that offensive line, because I feel like Jameis is going to be healthy. He's going to have weapons. And if you can protect him, we can do some damage. And kind of seeing how we're going along on the offensive line makes you really excited. Feels really good.
Well, if you're feeling pretty good about the offensive line, I mean, I don't know if you can feel exactly the same way about the defensive line.
What an excellent transition. This is a professional I'm working with here, guys. You got to hear that. That was a flawless segue into an area of concern.
I appreciate that. But yes, we have Marcus Davenport still in midseason form, dealing with a shoulder injury.
And a finger.
Finger injury as well.
And a finger.
And Peyton Turner still does not exist.
Man, I was so excited about Peyton Turner a lot. Watching him in college, and then when he got drafted, and then doing all the research, and then first game he played, he had a sack. Mm-hmm. And man, it is really frustrating that first round pick is just gone. You can't judge a guy in the first 3 years, but it is not encouraging at all.
We do it all the time. And he's a bust.
I don't do it all the time. I try to give a guy a chance to develop to a much more difficult level of play than they're used to in college. But man, it is disheartening that he's not on the field for minicamp. I mean, a lot of the blank checks I've been giving guys were like, well, it was COVID. He didn't have an off season. Like, Ruiz is still relevant because, well, he didn't have an off season. You know, there's an off season here. You got minicamp, you got OTAs, and he ain't for none of it. Man, it is frustrating to defend this guy.
Right. Exactly.
I'm going to keep trying, but it's frustrating. Davenport, I'm just frustrated. We'll talk all the day about how dominant he is when he plays, but you can't count on him.
Yeah.
His is the last season of his contract. People are going to throw money at him next year because he's so good when he plays, and he's never going to play a full season. He's never going to play enough of a season to make a big difference on your team. I'm done. I'm done with him. I'm tired of having this conversation about how dominant a player is when they play, and then waiting to see what day of the week he shows up on the injury report. It's exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, man. And, I don't know. It looked like the way the cap is structured with his contract is going to be, you know, a bunch of dead money once once the contract is up. So
this is his last year on the Saints. That's my prediction.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, for sure.
even if we like him, even if he plays more than 10 games, and I don't think he will, you know, it's just, We're not going to have the kind of money. Pass rushers get a bunch of money. He can rush the passer occasionally when he's on the field. Someone's going to overpay for him. Yes. Maybe he's going to end up being a really good player and making me look dumb like Hendrickson did. Hendrickson had a great season, much to my chagrin. You know, and good for him. I always liked Hendrickson. So, you know, I think maybe it'll be the same thing. Someone's going to give him a bunch of money. He's going to go somewhere else. Except instead of Hendrickson, who kept developing and, you know, ended up a really good player, you're going to be overpaying for a dude made of glass who's going to play half your games.
Or maybe he's going to just be Clowney, you know, because that's what Clowney is. You know, he plays half a season.
Man, is there a more overrated player in the NFL than Jadeveon Clowney?
Right. And that's the kind of vibes I'm getting from Davenport.
Man,
right?
I swear, you have one highlight in college of almost decapitating somebody, and you just get overhyped from the get-go. You know, he was never a dominant player, even when he was healthy. His last season, he was healthy. He had, like, what, 4 sacks, something like that? It's just
– yeah.
I never got the – you know, and the Saints made a push a couple years ago. Yeah, there you go. There was a stat a couple years ago where the Saints made a big run at him, where we had that – experimental trade where we're going to trade with the Browns and then they were going to pay his, you know, salary or whatever.
Yes.
And he's never been good since then. I don't know. I don't get the fascination with Clowney. It's a fun name. You know, I like Clowney. That's fun. Make some shirts out of that. I don't know.
Only divine intervention stopped that trade from happening. Cause
well, looking at what's going on with Watson right now, and maybe the Saints have somebody looking out for their bad decisions.
I'm telling you, Mickey Loomis has an angel with him.
Angel on his shoulder. And now that the devil on his shoulder named Sean Payton is gone, now we can ascend to the heavens.
Exactly. Also saw that Jarvis Landry out there balling, one hand catches. Whew. I mean, getting open like crazy. You know, still getting open in the phone booth. You know, like let's go, Jarvis Landry. LSU.
I think a lot of times I downplay how good LSU players are because all the fans that are Saints fans and LSU fans will tell me we need more LSU players. We need he played at LSU, therefore he's great. You know, so I think the back of my mind, I kind of like subconsciously downplay how good they are. Mm-hmm. Jarvis Landry is so much better than advertised. I was not prepared for the impact he was going to make as soon as he got here. You know, just looking at what he did in Cleveland, and, you know, Cleveland is Cleveland. Even with good players, they're always going to be the Browns.
Exactly.
But he looks good, man. He looks quick. He looks explosive. You know, the hands are there. And, you know, like we were saying earlier, if he's your number one, you got somebody. If he's your number three, you got weapons. And it looks to me like he's going to be, whoo.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we'll get to Michael Thomas speculation a little bit later, but if he plays and is a shadow of his former self and just plays at all.
Yeah.
Then you got the first round pick who looks real good, Olave. You got him who looks real good. You got Alvin Kamara out of the backfield. Man.
Yeah.
Who cares if we're bad at tight end? This is going to be exciting.
An exciting
offense.
At that point, like, I mean, you really don't need that much from the tight end position, right? Like,
you don't need much. You need him to be able to block and occasionally catch one of those weird tight end screens that we like.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, you know, 30, 40 passes, you know.
Yeah, you need a Josh Hill. That's about all you need. If you can collectively come up with a Josh Hill, you're fine.
Right. Get a few touchdowns. I think we'll be in good shape on offense. Man.
So, all right. So here's what's interesting to me is we keep talking about the offense, you know. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. It's sexy. It scores points, whatever. The defense is going to be the strength of this team, and it's not even close. Even if even if Davenport continues to be unreliable and Peyton Turner continues to be the invisible man, this defense is going to be good. It's going to be good.
Okay.
It's going to be strong.
I don't know about all that now. Like,
if, I'm telling you, if Davenport does not play a snap, the defense is still good. If Davenport plays the whole season, the defense is elite.
Well, let's not get carried away. He's not going to play a whole season.
No.
You know that.
No, it's not. But if he plays the games he plays, the defense will be elite. The games he doesn't play, the defense will be very good.
Yeah. I mean, we really need a better pass rush, more consistent pass rush, put it that way.
Does that mean that we should go after a pass rushing defensive tackle, perhaps like Ndamukong Suh?
I mean, it definitely couldn't hurt, because those defensive ends, you know, they don't grow on trees, right? You got still got Grandison in the mix.
Grandison can rush the passer. Taco Charlton might have something left in the tank.
Yeah, Taco. I'm interested to see what Taco has.
There's about three or four defensive ends who are all potential guys that could end up being real players that don't involve Turner, Davenport, or our guy Cam Jordan. So I mean, there's potential guys on this roster. There's Tano. How do you say his last name? Napinso. I don't even try.
Yeah, Tannenyo. You talking about?
Yeah, I'm not even gonna try.
Right.
So Tano, the guy you can't pronounce, Taco Charlton, and our guy that we just said that I already forgot the name of because I'm drinking on this podcast. That's three guys right there that can rotate in and make impacts. And
I think the X factor is Ryan Nielsen, because he really develops.
Granderson, that's the guy I forgot. Granderson.
Yeah, but he really develops defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see, you know, this guy is a former first-round pick in Taco. And if you get him with Nielsen, maybe he brings it out of him now, you know.
I cannot agree with you more. That's a fantastic point. It's a player who has every physical tool you want in a defensive end, who's never really put it together. He's had flashes here and there in Dallas, which, you know, is famous for terrible coaching and bad ownership. He's got a solid team around him. He's got solid coaching around him. It would not be a shock to me. And this is exciting to me. It would not be a shock if he ends up pushing for playing time and makes a real impact on this team. This defense is loaded.
Right. Right. Yep.
You know, it's one thing if you bring in a guy like him and expecting him to be a starter on one side of the line and putting eggs in that basket and like, oh, well, I hope this works out. But we're not. This is just a shot in the dark. Like, oh, hey, you know, this might help. Who cares? This could be some depth. Oh, yeah, he's a former first-round pick, and he might be a complete stud. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, we'll find out.
Yes.
Just playing with house money on defense. This defense, man, I cannot wait.
Absolutely. Oh, love it.
Getting excited.
Okay. Now, I also want to give some love to the up-and-comers, right? The long shots.
Before we get into our long shots, I do want to say one more thing about the returning guys.
Okay.
Will Lutz has been officially cleared to return.
Yes.
Videos of him hitting field goals.
Yes.
That might be, outside of Michael Thomas, that might be the biggest addition this offseason, is that we got a freaking kicker back.
Yeah. 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 I forgot about that. I cannot wait
for being able to just go and refill my beer on extra points and not staring at my TV shaking because we can't make an extra point to save our life.
Man. That's nuts, bro. I mean, extra points.
I mean, that's the part you're celebrating. You know, you're high-fiving your guys, you're drinking your beer, you're doing a shot, whatever it is. And you realize halfway to the fridge, we missed the extra point for like the fifth time in a season. Yeah. God, I can't. missing a field goal, you know, it's a gamble in the first place. Missing an extra point is just a kick in the pants. I can't stand it.
It's terrible.
Okay. I have flashbacks to the River City Relay and John Carney shanking that thing. Oh, I have not recovered from that yet.
All sorts of incredible plays along the line for the Saints to stay alive, pending the extra point by John Carney.
And he missed.
No! He missed the extra point wide right. Oh, my God. How could he do that? This one is over, as John Carney misses his first extra point of the season.
Yeah, Jim Henderson was like, how could he do that? He wasn't even close.
He should have gone for two anyway. I still, to this day, think you should have gone for two. Go for the win in that situation. You just had the most amazing play in Saints history. Go for the win.
Yeah, I had given up by that game, man. I had totally given up.
You give up all the, you know, it's just negativity over here.
Okay. Once again, long shots.
Long shots, long shots. All
right. Okay. We have Kirk Merritt. And like he putting his name in the hat for Camp Beast. I know later
he's
on.
He's going to be this year's EJ Manuel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like I know later on we'll talk about Camp Beast, but just this early guy here. I mean, he's like 6'1", 215. He ran like a 4.3340, right?
I remember when that was incredibly fast, and they were like, yeah, there's like five guys that run that.
Yeah, but if you go and Google this guy, I mean, he looks like a specimen. Yeah. All right. And
he's on an NFL roster. Yeah. You think so?
Yeah. But like kind of looking into his story, I mean, he's come up on the rough side of the mountain, man. He transferred to different schools in high school and tried to come up to college, went to different places, end up transferring like East Mississippi State, got on Last Chance U. Okay. And then he went up to Arkansas State and he balled out Arkansas State and everything like that. And so now he's trying to get a grip and get in with a team in the NFL. And like the guy's been grinding ever since, man. And I gotta believe with a guy that's faced this much adversity, he's willing to put in the work for sure. But this work may actually pay off and he might make the squad, man.
Yeah, you got to root for a guy with a story like that. And if he had been in this situation last offseason, he'd probably have made the team.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the trouble is, all of a sudden, the Saints wide receiver room is loaded.
Was so deep.
So, yes. Yeah, so now to make the team, you got to beat out somebody like Hardy, who returns kicks, or Callaway, who had six touchdowns last year. Like, exactly. You must blow some minds in training camp if you're going to be able to push one of those guys for roster. I mean, maybe Traquan Smith has kind of soured on some folks.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people want to see him out of the building, but the Saints wide receiver room, it's just loaded right now. It's rough, you know, and he hopefully for his story and for him as a person, hopefully he does well enough that he catches on somewhere after this training camp, after these mini camps and whatnot. But man, I can't promise it's going to be this team. This wide receiver room is a lot harder to make the team than it was last year.
Well, I mean, hey, it's always the practice squad. And speaking of practice squad, Bryce Thompson.
Look at these segues.
Right, Bryce Thompson on defense.
I was showing up to the beer run. I thought we were going to drink some beer and talk some shit. And we're over here with a professional on the other side trying to take me to school on how to do a podcast. This is embarrassing.
Okay, Bryce Thompson. He's been playing all over the field, right? He's been playing at safety, cornerback, playing in the slot. They asked DA about him. DA is recognizing, you know, hey, this guy is pretty flexible, and that's what we want in players, guys that can do multiple things.
DA is in love with that flexible, versatile safety kind of guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was on the practice squad, so he's a second-year guy from Tennessee, and hey, he can maybe crack the squad, you know, and get on a roster. What do you think about that?
Man, it's exciting, you know, especially it's in a position that we're not certainly decided on, you know.
Yeah.
All of our safeties are new. The three safeties that we're really expecting anything from are all new to the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of them is the Honey Badger. I assume we all expect him to be good. But May is coming off an injury and has a suspension looming. Evans is coming off an injury, and the only person who thinks he's going to be good is you. You know, there's a lot of question marks in safety. So if you can get in there, I mean, of course, the guy I want to have make the team at safety is Smoke Monday, because that's the coolest name on the team. And I dig that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Three digit numbers. We need three digit numbers. Smoke Monday.
it would be exciting, man. There's a lot of this is one of those problems that you have, is where there's a lot of UDFAs and kind of long shot guys, and you're really excited about them and you hope they make the team and everything like that, but you know, those kind of guys make the team when your roster is weak. And the Saints roster, despite what everyone keeps telling me, is not weak. There is some talent on this roster, and it's going to be tough to push in as an unknown.
Right. And I remember just, you know, hearing from the last OTAs about Alante Taylor out there performing. And then you got a Debo. I mean, we're so young, but talented out there in the corner position too. I mean,
is there a more underrated player on the Saints than a Debo? No one's talking about him. We just drafted a guy that basically does the same thing as him. He played really well last year. He had a couple of really big splash plays. He locked it down very well.
Yeah.
A very underrated player, in my opinion.
I think the most underrated guy in the secondary is going to be Roby right now, because everybody's forgotten about him with the drafting of the young cornerback.
It's hard to remember he's on the team.
Right.
He's the third or fourth defensive back, but he's a good player. He's
versatile guy, can play the slot, can play outside, you know. Yeah, and he's not breaking the bank.
You have backups like P.J. Williams who could start on 15, 20 teams.
Absolutely. Like,
I agree with you and Dave that it's going to be some growing pains learning how to do this live. And it's unfortunate the first three games are all division games.
Yeah.
I'm thinking by week five or six, barring a bunch of injuries, this defense is going to be scary. It really is. I'm very excited about it.
It would be nice if they can iron out everything in preseason.
I mean,
so, you know, so give them some more time maybe.
But you also don't want to play all your starters that much in preseason in order to iron it out. You don't want to risk injury in games.
Yes, it's true. That's true.
After what we went through last year, every time someone comes up a little bit slow, I'm going to freak out.
But we got the injury guru guy from Alabama, and so we're going
to
be good.
That's true. And they've been cheating for years, so we're going to figure out what they've been doing to cheat.
Yeah, let's do it.
As an Alabama fan, Dale is defensive of that accusation.
God. More lies.
Third down for what?
Neontae Hardy wants a new deal. So,
for anyone who's not under the know, we're talking about Deontay Harris, whose name is now Hardy. Very heartwarming story. He actually took the last name of his stepfather, so that goes.
Yeah.
Who actually raised him.
Mm-hmm.
Great story. Love to hear it. But that's why it's not Deontay Harris. It is Deontay Hardy.
Right. So, but the guy wants a new deal. Mm-hmm. And what do you think Hardy is even worth? Because he's a small guy, dynamic returner. He did play some wide receiver last year.
Okay.
Played some wide receiver last year, and I thought he was pretty good. And that comeback route was pretty lethal, you know. But
described every route he's good at except for a nine routes and comeback routes.
Yeah, for sure. You know. But he's often injured. And I mean, he's a small
that comes
guy
to the territory.
Yeah.
In order to be that quick and that dynamic, you have to be lighter and quicker like that, you know, and that's going to leave you open to more injuries. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. If you're a big, strong guy who doesn't get hurt a lot, you're not making the kind of cuts and getting to the edge and doing the kind of things that makes Hardy a dynamic player. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're never going to have this kind of thing. We were just looking up, we were trying to look up comps for Hardy before the show.
Right.
And of all the different kick returners looking at, only one of them played a full season of the top, like 20 returners. Like, it's just hard to do. You know, that's not a position that is going to see the field every week, because you take a lot of punishment, and if you're to be good at that job, you're not going to be a big guy capable of handling that.
Right. So what I did was I went to look at just stats first, right? Cause I'm trying to find another returner
in
the same league. Right. And so I really had to go back to 2019 to really find the chunk of Hardy's stats, right, as a returner. And look at 2019, we're looking at punt returns, right? He averaged 9 yards a punt return. And when I compare him to other guys like Deontay Johnson or, let's say, Jarvis Landry averaged 10 yards a return, and Deontay Johnson averaged 12 yards a return. So even
and
this
is 2019. This is
this
2019. This is the year that he had that kick that he ran back in Seattle. That
Right.
Revitalized the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the game that he had a 70-yard, even in the season he had that 70-yard punt return run back, he still only averaged 9?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. 9 yards, yes.
And that was the season, if anyone's wondering, that he was the named the All-Pro team for kick and punt return.
Yeah, and then I kind of looked at just 40-plus yard gains as far as returning and his punt returns again. And he had 1. And, I mean, that pretty much ties with everybody else. But let's go to kick returns. This is, again, the 2019. And we're looking at average. Let's see what we get. So what I thought was the best comparison was Cordarrelle Patterson. Now, I know he technically plays running back, right? Mm-hmm. But definitely special teams is what he does. And that particular season, Patterson averaged 29.5 yards a kick return. Hardy averaged 26.8 yards per kick return.
This is in 2019, you're saying?
Yes, 2019. Mm-hmm.
So why are we talking about 2019? Let's look at last year's numbers. Looking strictly at kick return, he was the 11th best by average kick returner in the NFL last year. And that was his primary role on the team, was kick return, punt return, and was forced into more of a receiver role because of injury.
Right.
I just, you know what? Like, I know there are some guys that listen to the show that are really big Hardy fans. And, you know, I like him too. I think he's a good weapon to have. But you're talking about the 11th best kick return in the league, who had, what, 3 touchdowns receiving?
Mm-hmm.
Was it last year? He's going to be pushing for $5-plus million a year, and I don't think he's worth it.
Yeah, so just looking at Cordarrelle Patterson's contract. Cordarrelle Patterson, he's like 31 right now, and he signed a 2-year deal, worth $10.5 million, $5 million guaranteed. And this is a guy that put up some numbers as a pretty good running back last season. And this is the deal he got.
He took over the Atlanta offense for the second half of the year.
Mm-hmm. So would you be willing to give Hardy a deal like $10 million, 2 years, 5 guaranteed?
I mean, he's still a young guy.
Yeah.
I would like to stretch that out. Maybe a little bit less per year, but give him an extra year on the contract. I don't think he's worth 5 a year, personally. I mean, you have so many other things going on this offense.
Right.
I get last year he's critical because you need a guy who can return well for field position. And return well is in quotations because, again, 11th in the NFL in kick return. You know, you need to set up your offense better because your offense is so weak. The offense shouldn't be weak this year. We should have weapons. We should have some better progression with our offensive line and our cohesiveness. There's no reason to think we're going to be as bad offensively, which means there's no reason to think we need our special teams to be as important as they were last year. You know, I'd like to have him around. I think Hardy brings a lot to the table. He can be a deep threat. He can make some things happen with the ball in his hands offensively. And, you know, it may have been a few years ago, but he has, you know, shown some burst in the return game. But if he's looking for top dollar, I think he's got to find it somewhere else. I just don't see the value, you know?
Yeah. And just looking at what the Saints spend on special teams, I want to say we spend like the second most in the league.
Yes, that is true of the Saints. We do go out of our way to spend money on special teams. We've always paid our kickers, punters very well.
Right.
Guys like Sonny Gray, going back to Fred McAfee, like we've always paid guys that were just to help the special teams, you know, and we have guys like Gunners that are getting paid more than they ought to. But that goes along with saying that with all the other money we put in here, if you're not the best returner,
right,
we can go find one. Including a UDFA right now, who is a kick return specialist.
Absolutely.
So are we already kind of hedging our bets that if he wants a big paycheck, he can be shown the door?
I think so. Which is the wise thing to do. You have to edge your bets and you figure out contingency plans and everything like that. So, yeah.
God, I hate agreeing with you. This show is much more fun when I'm yelling at you about something. No, I mean, that's what it is. Hardy/Harris, he's a good player. I like having him around. But if he wants big money that we can spend on someone who helps our team more than he does, right, then he's going to find it somewhere else. And we have other guys who can kick, return kicks. Returning kicks is not an elite stat that only he can do.
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree. Just looking at stats and everything, like, yeah, we can find us another one.
All right. So first things first, we got to make sure Dave never listens to this show because his two favorite players are Davenport and Hardy. And all we've done today is crap on both of them.
We crapped on both of them.
I'm probably going to get fired from if this is the last podcast y'all hear me on. It's because Dave fired me from the show after hearing this one.
maybe we could squeeze in another plug for our sponsor.
Beer Run Podcast is sponsored by Purple Valley Marijuana. We got that good.
Oh, don't do it. Oh, no. Oh. Did I miss it? Did they run another one? If they did, don't tell me.
They're going to go for it here on fourth down.
Let's talk about some things that you've been watching, Craig, and I know you were really looking forward to this week because a new movie was coming out and you went to the theaters. Right. I don't know if most of the people out here listening have gone to theaters lately, but I am not one of those.
You people. Should. You should. All right. So my birthday was on Saturday. I'm a big dinosaur birthday, Jurassic fan. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And I have a long history of seeing movies about dinosaurs for my birthday.
Yes.
The very first Jurassic Park came out on my fifth birthday. I went, right. went to go see it. Also, don't let a five-year-old watch that movie. Scare the crap out of me. Good times. So we went to go see the new Jurassic World Dominion on Thursday.
Nice.
Which was the pre-release, I guess. It came out on Friday. Uh-huh. I loved it. I love dinosaurs. I'm all about it. I'm about this franchise. I was very invested.
Okay.
I see every problem with it, and I know exactly why a lot of people don't like this movie.
Okay.
Reviews are killing it. But the general overview is the dinosaurs are loose in the world now. People are trying to adapt to the new normal of there are dinosaurs in the wild, basically.
Right.
And more important than dinosaurs is the genetic power of being able to clone and adjust genomes and this kind of, you know, genetic power that they kind of really big in the Crichton books and a little bit in the first movie is kind of the driving force of the plot. And I'm not going to break everything out for you because Dale has not seen it and right. I still want him to. This movie needs to make money, so they'll make more of these movies. So I need to tell everyone to go see. I'm not going to do any spoilers or anything. If you like dinosaurs, it's good. If you're a paleo fanatic and you're really a stickler for paleo accuracy, you're going to have some problems. You know, the Giganotosaurus is, you know, basically just looks like a dragon. So mm-hmm. If you're willing to suspend your disbelief on some of the animals being twice as big as they should be and some of them looking ridiculous, you know, let that go. You know, there's a lot of problems with it. There's a lot of bits that are like, okay, well, that's just what Hollywood does now. Okay, well, right. That's the new character. Then they're great at everything for no reason. Okay, those are the old characters. They're stupid for inexplicable reasons. Mm-hmm. If you can get past the Hollywood trappings of everything that they have in movies now, you'll have a good time. They have new animals in there. Quetzalcoatlus is in there. Dimetrodon is in there. There's new animals, new dinosaurs. The T-Rex is back. There's, you know, not a ton of raptors. If you're tired of raptors, there's only like one scene with raptors. They're not velociraptors. They're called atrociraptors, which is nothing like the actual atrociraptor. So again, if you're a paleo nerd, you're going to have problems with that, but it's fun. It's a fun action movie. If you like right. the Fast and the Furious movies and you thought there should be more dinosaurs in them, this is as close as you're going to get.
Okay. Okay.
But you know, I enjoyed it even though I'm critical of a lot of movies lately. Yeah. I had a good time. I'm going to watch it again. Because I love dinosaurs and I will not apologize to you or anybody else.
Okay. Well, I will be getting on Velocicoaster at some point this summer and I will let you know.
Yes, we talked about it. We're going to go watch the Saints beat up on the Bucks in Tampa and we're going to go check it out.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Like that
so you watched Miss Marvel, which I have not had time for yet.
Yes.
And you're going to tell me all about it right now.
So,
and you can spoil this for me because I am not watching it.
Miss Marvel is a little bit on the kiddie side, I would say. You could kind of compare it a little bit to Spider-Man and just you see some kind of animations and stuff like that in it. So, you know, right then you kind of know what you're in for. So it's going to be 6 episodes on Disney Plus. The main character is a girl named Kamala. She's like 16 years old and she's a total Avengers geek. And so she's into like cosplay and everything, and she wants to go to the Comic-Con that they have and everything. And so, you know, she works on making a costume and all that kind of stuff. And her grandma leaves her this bracelet, which is basically a Kree bracelet. And that's how she gets her powers. And of course, being an Avengers nerd, she is totally into Captain Marvel. And, you know, she follows everything.
The only person I know.
And everything like that. And I mean, it's going to be the setup for the Marvels. So I'm interested in seeing that part. You know, me, I want the setups. I want the rest of the MCU. So they're giving me this, and that's why I'm going to watch the Marvels. And
if you're Ms. still Marvel, bought into the MCU, and you're still going to watch all the manufactured product they roll out there.
Yes, I will watch it. That's right.
You know, I'll admit, I do want to see Thor, Love and Thunder, as I do love Natalie Portman and I love Chris Hemsworth. But man, a lot of the stuff the MCU is rolling out lately is just kind of, it's like, here, just enjoy this. You'll like it. Here.
Yeah, well, they're just getting started in a phase. So,
I liked some of the Ms. Marvel stuff in the comics. That run has been canceled about 4 times. It's never really been a huge draw. I think originally she was an immortal. Okay. And I guess with how badly that movie did, they're not gonna cut all ties to the Immortals.
Oh yeah.
Make sure that that she has a backstory that can be separate. So they're gonna tie into Kree's, which I think means they're gonna try to lean into Secret Invasion going forward.
That's what I think. So.
You know, it looks like this movie kind of missed me. I'll probably watch She-Hulk when it comes to that. Looks like it at least will be funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ms. Marvel just looks like it's missing me. I never ended up seeing a couple of the other shows, so I'm not nearly the Marvel nerd that you are.
But it's good to, I guess, explore some of the lighter side of things, because, you know, it's sort of how they use the Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Have them being like the lighter, funny kind of movie. You know, coming after stuff that was so serious and everything like that. So I'm fine with it. Less, especially because
I love both those Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Yeah.
I actually like the second one better. I thought the soundtrack was better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yeah. Yep.
And I'm a big fan of Nebula. I don't care what color. Beautiful women in those movies. Green, yeah. Blue, no care. They have nothing but beautiful women. I'll give it a try eventually when it comes around, but I can't see myself locking into another weekly series for the MCU, just trying to explain to me how stupid men are and how women are the best in the world. And it's tiring. It's exhausted. The last couple are just beating me down, man.
I understand, Craig. Okay.
You'll notice, everyone, we're not talking about Kenobi. We're going to wait until that season is over. Uh-huh. We'll have a recap episode of the last 3 episodes, because I cannot talk about Kenobi every week. Not enough happens for me to talk about it every week.
It's been good.
We will watch it on Wednesday night. We record this on Tuesday night. I can't remember what happened in a 35-minute block a week later to talk about it in detail. I'm just tired, guys.
Oh, it's been good. It's been really, really good. So, okay.
We're only doing this because we hate punting. Shout out to Steve Gleason. We do not punt when we have a chance to on this show. So we're only doing some entertainment news because we cannot stand punting. But I'm trying to wait for football to come back. We're getting close. There's going to be some real football stuff happening real soon.
Next month. Hopefully
we can focus on that stuff.
Next month for sure, man, is where we really get in gear. And like, I've been trying to talk with the guys. I think we're going to do our underdog of the year. We're all going to get on, have a big show, and we're all going to be go on record and picking that guy that we're rolling with for the year before training.
Now, we're
going to
have to be real clear about who we call underdogs, because someone's going to be like, oh, well, I think Jameis Winston is an underdog because he was hurt last year. And that person is wrong. Because it has to be an actual underdog.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, we got a lot of big stuff coming for this channel. We are going to have an LSU show before the LSU season starts.
Yes.
We're going to have a fantasy football show. Yes. Our good friend of the show, B-Train, has his own show that's in production right now. We're going to have that. This channel is going to have daily content. Hopefully none of it is wrestling, because that's the worst. And you'll be able to hear about the Saints every chance you get.
All the wrestling fans, mount up. Let's go ahead and attack Craig on Twitter, please. Hashtag BITW.
I don't want to talk to any of your weird wrestling fans. I don't know what they're doing watching that make believe at their age. So I don't want to hear about it.
It's good stuff, bro.
The only thing worse than wrestling is fantasy football.
Hey, which you will be playing this year too.
Over my dead body.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll do it for us on the Beer Run.
You know, we had a good time. I hope you guys did too. Thank you to the BSN Beer family for having us on. Dave, don't listen to the show. If you're still listening, then I'll have my resignation on your desk in the morning. We got a lot of good stuff coming. Stay with us. It's a good time to be a Saints fan, man. Have a beer. It's on me.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us BS and Beer at iCloud.com.
The city on the wall is number one, no doubt. Doing things the right way, cause we on the right route. Got that bounce for your head, yeah, we got what you need. Got that trigger man beat to make you weak in the knee. We soldiers, not